special day in that Tim and Benita Johnson and Dr. Charles and Edith Butterfield are assuming, in a new sense, function and ministry in our fellowship. Dr. Butterfield and Edith have been coming for some time now and have ministered in our fellowship for the past year at various times, and the Lord has just loved us enough, and that's an exceeding and great love, to bless us with them coming on staff and being a part of our fellowship and ministering in a regular way here, and we just really rejoice in the Lord's provision. Tim and Benita Johnson have been involved in Dave and Elaine Logier's home group and have felt the tug of the Holy Spirit to assume a greater sense of responsibility in the body, and have chosen to be servants of the Lord in this fashion. Every one of us have a calling and a purpose in the Lord, and it isn't for everybody to be a home group leader. I believe that God wants to raise up in this fellowship all varied ministries, people functioning in this way and that way, every one of us sharing the life of the Lord in various ways. Well, they're going to be assuming a home group starting this Tuesday night. They're initially a group from the Logier home group are going to be meeting with them, but any of you that are not in a home group, they live in the Medina area, we just encourage you to visit their home group and see what the Lord would say to you about becoming a committed, involved person sharing the life of Jesus with other brothers and sisters there. Praise the Lord. We'd like to ask the Butterfields to come, please, and you could be seated here. The elders would come and the home group leaders, and we're going to lay hands on them. Let me just share, as they're coming, in the area of ministry, there are basically four things that have to happen. Okay, everybody listening? Number one, the person who is going to function in the area of ministry must sense in their own life, in their own heart, the calling of God. And there must be that response and saying, yes, I am called of God. I do desire to function in ministry as the Lord is calling me. And secondly, there needs to be the anointing of the Holy Spirit for that ministry. First, we point the finger at ourselves and say, yes, I do desire that ministry. I am called of God. Secondly, the Holy Spirit points the finger and says, I have anointed this brother or sister. And then thirdly, there is the people. The people say, yes, there is this ministry. There is this flow of the life of the Lord through these people, and we choose to have them minister the life of Jesus unto us. So there is the acknowledgement and the response of the people. When King David lived in Hebron for almost 7 years before Israel came and said, we want you to be king, come up to Jerusalem. And the people recognized his kingship. He had reigned for almost 7 years over Judah. Now all of Israel said, yes, we see that God has anointed you. We see that you are truly a king, and we would have you rule over us. And they invited him up to Jerusalem. Well, that has to happen where the people recognize the ministry and they say, yes, this is of God. And then there is that aspect of further recognition where those in already in established leadership, whether it's in a locality or in the larger context, and here, of course, it's in the context of our local assembly, established ministries, recognized ministries, lay their hands on them and say, yes, we set you apart for ministry. And that's what we're doing this morning, is acknowledging God's choice and saying, in our local fellowship, we as a people recognize you, we as the leadership recognize you, and we bless you in the name of the Lord. And that's what we're doing. Praise God. We'd like you to join with us. If you want to extend your hand or just bow your heart and just release in the Spirit. As you creatively speak God's provision and blessing for this family, the Lord hears you. And he will hear your blessings and your prayers for the Butterfields as well. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we do count it a privilege to, at this time, acknowledge your purpose and your will for Charles and Edith in relationship to our fellowship. And we join together as men called of God, and we lay our hands on Charles and Edith. And we ask you, Lord, to pour out upon them a blessing. Release in and through their lives a bountiful provision that they may clearly hear your voice in relationship to this body, that the teaching ministry and the flow of life will flow through them as a couple, for they are one. And they will be to this body all that you want them to be, Lord, in the ministry of the word, in fellowship, the flow of life, and all the blessing that you can possibly bring to this body through them. We just minister that release right now. Be released in the Holy Ghost. Receive the provision of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless them in your name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Brother, Brother Charles, we just rejoice that you're coming to share with us as a patriarch. We are being blessed by God to have you and Edith come into our midst. And Lord, it will be a pleasure to go to the city gate to Charles and seek his counsel. Father, we just rejoice that you've brought this couple into our midst to share with us, become a part of us. We look forward to the guidance we will receive from you through Charles, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord would say you've been faithful as servants and stewards of those things that he has given you. And he would say unto you that he is opening up new doors and new pathways, that your hearts might be lifted up, that your heart might be opened to the new things that God is going to show you, so that you might minister unto this body.
Lord, we just thank you for the blessing of bringing Charles and Edith to you. We've enjoyed their encouragement and their support right from the beginning. We felt that love, and we just thank you for bringing that into the midst of us to really become a greater part of us now. Lord, we just pray that you would reveal to Charles and Edith from the deep level of experiences that they have encountered to this point, those things that they can share with us that would be meaningful to this body and to the flow of life and the great vision that you have for us. Lord, instill in them a sense of that vision and help them out of that deep experience and background to build together into us a broader and more beautiful vision of your purpose in us. And Lord, we want them to become a part of our body, to really integrate as brother and sister. Lord, they've had a great deal of experience, and sometimes we tend to lift them up and look on them and come an awesome way. But Lord, we just want to be brother and sister with them.
Amen.
To be sensitive to their needs and to minister to them and let them minister to us. And Lord, we just pray that you integrate them into our body in that way,
Lord,
into our fellowship, that we can be one with them and them one with us.
Yes.
Oh, we just praise you for them, Father. We thank you. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. I want us to stand with Brother Butterfield this morning. He's suffering in his body, and we just want to minister strength and life to you, brother.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, and good morning, friends.
Good morning.
It is true that I have been attacked by a disease called gout. And here I thought all the time that gout was for old men. When I got out of bed this morning, I didn't know whether I'd be able to make it or not today, for I couldn't stand on my foot. I couldn't walk. I had to have my wife help me. But she prayed for me, and the Lord has helped me to be here this morning, and I am glad.
Praise God. Thank you.
I've been ministering now for 55 years, and I can only remember twice in 55 years that I ever missed a meeting because of sickness. Not that I am such a robust fellow, But it's because God is so good.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
And he has always helped me. Many times I've stood behind the pulpit and been in pain and not feeling too well. But the Spirit of the Lord has always come to the rescue and given me strength and vigor. And oftentimes, before I knew it, I was dancing around and feeling a real touch of God on my body. Last Wednesday night in the business meeting, I explained to the folks there why we had made application to become a member of this fellowship. I might briefly mention it again this morning, that we have missed for a number of years being members of any special local church. Since I left the pastorate that I had for 23 years in Everett and went into educational work, being president of the college, my service was required in different places practically every Sunday representing the school. And we just lost all connection with the local church because of the nature of my work. But it has been a loss to us because we feel that membership and identity with a local body is very, very essential to everybody who's a Christian. And I'm glad that you people have found this out. But we have, through circumstances, been denied this privilege. And it has been 10 years or more now, it's been 12 years since I resigned my position at the college. But we have been called to minister in many countries in the world. And we have been as scattered in our ministry as I was while I was in the school, so that no opportunities were given us of locating in a local church. But we had determined within ourselves that we were going to do this. We lived in Arlington. And so we decided that when we came to, we were going to move down to Kirkland, which we did last February, we decided that we were going to unite with one of the local churches in the area. Now, I am well known among the churches in the area, and I've been called upon to speak in all of them that I know of at various times. And so we didn't exactly know which church we would join. But I had been asked to minister at Christ Church in Northgate through the years at various times. And we were very much delighted with the fellowship there in Northgate. We felt that God was moving among those people. We sensed a very sincere friendship among the people. As we went in the door of the church, there was always somebody there with a glad welcome hand. And there was a warmth among the people that seemed to captivate us. And we really enjoyed our times when we could go there. So when we learned that residents of Bellevue who attended that church were going to start a church over here, it seemed to me that our hearts were drawn this way. And I mentioned that to Pastor Hammond on one or two occasions, and he thought it would be a good thing if we did come over here and offer our help to this church and also receive from you your blessing as you have given it to us this morning. And so just recently, my wife and I signed an application to become a member of this fellowship. Evidently, we have been accepted. although I did read in your policy statement that all members taken into the church were to be examined by the board of deacons and elders to see if they believed what the rest of you folks believe in order to admit them into the fellowship. That hasn't happened yet with us. So in lieu of that, I thought I would I would tell you this morning what we believe. And if you have any second thoughts about what you've already done, you can let us know about it. I would like to say, and I'm sure I can say it on behalf of my wife also, that we feel that we have been moving in the Lord. And that's been my desire all of my life. And all of the steps that I've taken in the ministry through the years have been in the Lord. God has not let me make yet one false move. I haven't made too many moves, but every one of them proved out to be of God. And I think that this one is. And I am here in the ministry to give. My life is dedicated to God to give. I discovered right away when I first got acquainted with God, when I was saved, that I wanted to give. And this is the implantation of the nature of God, who is a giver. God is giving all of the time. God just loves to give, and he has it to give too. And I think that you share with me in this thought that one of the great privileges of belonging to a fellowship is the opportunity that fellowship offers to us to give. I remember when I was first saved, I was saved at the testimony of a friend on a street corner. Although I had spent several years of my life in church, I wasn't converted, but I was raised in Sunday school and went to early teens into church. But as soon as I could get out from under the influence of my parents, I had no interest in the church anymore. The church and what the church believed and all didn't seem to fit my personality very well. Whatever I wanted to do, the church didn't want to do me to do. Whatever I didn't want to do, they wanted to do. So my life was out of gear with everything that was Christian. So I went out in the world, of course. But I never did see Jesus until one night when I was to meet with some friends and for a drinking party, that one of the notorious members of this group that I ran with was a narcotic addict. He used morphine and was a heavy user of morphine. A very undependable character he was. He'd been in jail many times and out of jail. We met there on the street corner, and he said to me on the street corner, "Charles," he said, "I have been saved." I could hardly believe my ears. The term itself was not too familiar to me anyhow to start with. But then he said, I have met Jesus. Jesus has come into my heart, he said, and delivered me from all of my bad habits. And there was something about the way he said it. There was something about the spirit of the man that struck me, so that I could hardly knew how to talk with him. I hardly had an answer for him. And he told me explicitly that he was a new creature in Christ. And that so amazed me that he talked about Jesus in such a personal way, like a person. I heard about Jesus all my life, but he was a historical figure. And the church and all it believed was a religious system. But now he's talking about somebody who is alive and who does things for people. And I didn't talk with him too long, but I walked away from him in a kind of a daze. And when I went home that night, I got down on my knees before God and made a prayer to God. And I said, God, if there is a God in heaven, and if there is a Jesus Christ to do what Teddy Kennedy has just told me happened to him, you let it happen to me. And right that night, Jesus Christ came into my heart in my bedroom alone. And that night, God called me to preach. That was on the 7th of August, 1923. On the 8th of August, the next day, I preached my first sermon. People could hardly believe what they heard. From out of the mouth of a blasphemer came words about God. And I have been preaching the gospel ever since. Praise the Lord. May I read to you a scripture at this time? So as much as in me is, this is in the first chapter of book of Romans. I'll read the 14th, 15th, and 16th verses. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, and both to the wise and the unwise. I am a debtor. I am a debtor to you people this morning. I owe you something. I owe you everything that God gives me to give you. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. And we'll just personalize it a little bit and say, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Bellevue also. I have preached this gospel in over 80 nations, but I'm ready now to preach the gospel to you who are in Bellevue. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so I present myself to you this morning as one who comes to serve you and to do my best to have the joy of seeing this congregation grow. Principally, I think of spiritual growth, but also numerical growth. I want you people to grow in God. And from week to week and from month to month, I hope to have the joy of seeing this congregation ministering to each other in a way that will make us all stronger and stronger and stronger in God, until we can feel the smile of God's pleasure and acceptance upon us every time we meet together. Before I tell you what I believe, I should say that right at this time, I have some commitments that will make it impossible to be with you for a few months. There is a church. Now, this is tentative, but there is a church in Spokane that's having a real problem. They suddenly lost their pastor in a very sad situation, which has brought disruption to the church. And this is probably one of the largest churches in Spokane, the Full Gospel Church. And they have asked me if I would come over and be interim pastor until they get a new pastor. And I was over once, and evidently they felt that I could help them, and they've asked me to come for maybe 3 months. Now, I'm going over to see them. I'll be there next Sunday, and I'm going to tell them that I have committed myself to this church and to the church in Seattle, Christ Church at Northgate, when I'm on the staff over there too. And the only condition that I will go over there is if they look upon my coming as a ministry from this church. In other words, you folks are giving me. It's not something that I want to do on my own, because I think it would be a fickle thing for me to cast my lot with you and then walk off for several months. And so I'm telling those folks exactly as it is, and I've talked to your pastor about it. I've talked to Jim Hammond about it. And both of these people have agreed that they think it would be a wonderful thing if the churches here, Northgate in Seattle and Christ Church in Bellevue, could help that church out. It might bring to pass a lasting friendship between these two churches that might be very valuable to you in the future. And so I am saying all of this to let you know that if this comes to pass, and they have given me a unanimous call to come, if it comes to pass, that my wife and I will have to forego the pleasure of being with you for these coming months. Although my wife will be living here, and perhaps in the goodness of some of your hearts, some way can pick her up and bring her to church on the Sunday morning. But I am coming, I am flying back and forth every week. I'm commuting back and forth between Spokane and home so that I can be with your pastor every Tuesday morning when we have the staff meeting. And I can be with Pastor Hammond every Wednesday morning when they have the staff meeting over there. So that I will not be entirely, I will hold my connection with the church every week. And so that your pastor can be free to call upon me for service during these days that I am home. I will be going back late Wednesday afternoon for the service over there Wednesday night. But I will be available to the church here the first part of every week. I thought I better explain that to you so that you will understand in the Sundays to come when you don't see me here. And rather than charging me with being insincere and fickle in my allegiance to you, that you'll understand it and feel good about it, that you are doing something, that you are sacrificing me. Isn't that great? I'm not going to have time to tell these folks what I believe this morning. Maybe it would be a wise thing in divine order if I wouldn't tell them what I believe until the next time I come together. I think your men have confidence in me anyhow to know what I believe. So I think that I will just stop there and express my appreciation to this kind congregation for your love and your grace that has been manifest to us. Pastor, as I look into the faces of those people right now, I can see that they are hungry to get at that fried chicken out there.